If you'll, John chapter 6 here, we're going to be partaking in the Lord's Supper today. So it's only fit we read about the feeding of the 5,000. Verse number 1, John chapter 6, verse number 1, says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Let's pray. Amen. So as we set the stage here, it says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee," which is the Sea of Tiberias, "and it said, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased." People were impressed and they were following Jesus to see the miracles, and they were ready to see more miracles. And it said, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him. I'm trying to set the stage here, and I don't know if I've got that much to set. But if you put them on the side of this mountain and you see this great multitude of people, you imagine 5,000 people out there, and Jesus looks at them. There's people that have been walking for miles. There's people that are hungry. There's no place to eat. There's no place nearby other than to send them home. And in other gospels, he says, let's send them home that they may eat. You know, the disciples do. And Jesus asked Philip a question. He says, where are we going to buy bread so that these may eat? Well, Philip does like a lot of us do. And he sits there and he starts calculating in his mind. And he starts figuring it out and he's adding it up. And he said, 200 penny worth is not enough to feed everybody, that they may take a little. You know, that's what happens now. When we think of doing things on our own, even the best result that comes out with the resources we think we might have available, or the resources that we think we need, it comes out where everybody gets to take a little, just a little bit. I hope y'all can follow me this morning. But we have an insurmountable problem. I want to make a couple points. There's never a problem that's too big for God to solve. When that question is presented to us and we add it up and we look at the resources in front of us, or we look at the resources we need, and it's like I said, the best that we can come up with is that everybody gets to take a little. And the 200 penny worth, if you look over in Matthew chapter 20, verse 2, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." We know from that a penny a day is about a day's wage. So 200 penny worth would be about 2/3 of their year's wages to feed everybody. And they didn't have that. And then we have the next one. So we have the problem insurmountable, the insufficiency of the probable solution. And then in verse number 7 and verse number 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" So out of these 5,000 people here, we have one boy apparently that brought his lunch. His mom probably packed it for him, you know, a couple fish and 5 barley loaves. And I have no idea what was in Philip's, or what was in Andrew's mind when he said this, but here's a lad here with lunch. The boy didn't have much, but what he had was about to be used of God to do a great thing. Y'all stick with me here. Sometimes I'm a little slow getting the engine warmed up, okay? Y'all just stick with me. So we have the improbability of the present resources. We have inadequate resources. And in verse number 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. So the lad had to give up what he had. He had to turn it over to Jesus, and Jesus took that little bit that he had. I know y'all are saying, oh, this is basic, Brother Keith. That's all right. Sometimes it is. But he turned it over to Jesus' hands. See, there's a lot of you that think you're inadequate to do anything for God. I know that feeling. If you ever know a preacher that doesn't get beat up, that doesn't beat himself up, I mean, before service, I'm not talking about the one in the pulpit, I'm talking about the one before service, just kind of beat up. It's like, man, I got to stand up there and I got to talk to people. And they're looking to me and they're going to draw closer to God off of what I say. And, you know, it's true that if you had to come up here and just listen to me, how pitiful that would be. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm giving myself as an illustration. I've never done that before, right? Yeah, she's back. That's right. I got to remember where I am now. I wasn't doing too good on... But our efforts on our own without turning them over to the Lord. You can do a lot of things. You can make a lot of noise. You can generate a lot of thunder. You can generate a lot of press, and you can make things happen. But it's only what you turn over to Christ that matters in the long run. And that little boy, that little lunch that he had, that's representative of those talents that you may have, that little bit that you may be sitting on. You know, that you may have buried that little bit. It's what is this? What is his lunch among so many? But he turns that over, and in turning that over, he's giving up his lunch. Now he's saying, well, I'm going to be hungry like everybody else. I might get a piece of a fin out of this if I'm lucky after they split this up. Or maybe he'd seen what Jesus did and he just knew. He said, here, Lord, take it, use it. And in faith, and that's a lot of times what we need to do. Lord, just take it. Use it. Surrender. It's giving in. It's surrender. It's, Lord, I'm not doing such a good job of what I got. But if I turn it over to you and just watch you work. And he turns over that lunch, and Jesus takes that bread and he blesses it. He thanks God for it. He looks up to the God of heaven. Now, see, Jesus is God. We understand that, right? We understand the Trinity. We understand that Jesus was there in the beginning. He was the creator of the universe. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. We understand that about Jesus, but he humbled himself coming down on this earth. And when he did that, he always pointed to the Father. He said, I do the will of him that sent me. And he was always there to do the will of the Father. When he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if it be thy will, Lord, take this cup from me. He knew the crucifixion was coming. But he was always pointing to God the Father. It was an example for us that we should always be looking to God the Father. He gives thanks to him, and they pass it out, and the disciples pass it out to the men that are sitting there. And it said, now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and then the disciples that were sat down, and likewise the fishes, and then it says, as much as they would. That means when they handed it out, when they passed it out, they didn't just, you know, they didn't leave with a hungry stomach, as much as they would. Over in Exodus, when they were getting the manna from heaven, and it talked about them going out to gather it, you remember the manna from heaven, it would rest on the ground, and they would only get enough for the day. except on the day before the Sabbath, and they would gather enough for the next day. But if they tried to gather moreover and they tried to hoard it, when they woke up, it was just full of worms. It was rotten. But Exodus 16:18 tells us, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. That's the way God distributes things to us, every man according to what we need. So they got to eat as much as they would when he passed it out. He said, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, and nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth the prophet that should come into the world. So before we leave here, that 5 loaves and the fishes had to be transferred to Christ. It was taken by Christ. It was touched by Christ. And then it was transformed by Christ. And then we're done with the sermon. No. It's a joke around here if you hadn't been here. He commanded them to gather the pieces that nothing be lost. And then there was the 12 baskets, one for each disciple. Now let's look at verse number 26. Verse number 26, Jesus answered them. This is after the storm. You remember the storm on the water? And they go across. Jesus had stayed apart in the mountain to pray. And when they were on the waters and the storm began to get rough, and they were out there and they were fighting the waves. And it was the middle of the night, about the fourth watch, and Jesus comes walking across the water to them and scared them. And in another one of the Gospels, Peter had even gotten out of the boat and walked on the water. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. And he got out there. This is just to put it in context of where we are, because we're skipping all of that. And in the book of John, it says, verse 20, but he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 21, then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, some of the commentators and whatnot, you know, they'll make it to where, well, it was like no time passed when you're spending time with Jesus. You know what? He'd already fed 5,000 with a few loaves. If it says they were immediately at the other shore, I'll take that word. So when they're on the other shore, verse 24, the people realize that Jesus isn't there. They've just been fed. They've seen this miracle take place. They were fed. They all gathered around for a meal. Everybody likes a meal, right? And he had disappeared, and they had more people to heal, and they followed over there. Verse 24, and when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now, here's where we get to a little bit of the meat of the sermon. You know, we've got our physical needs, and then we've got our spiritual needs. It's real easy to get caught up in our physical needs. We're here on earth. We get up in the morning, we got to eat breakfast, right? Sometimes you can skip that, but sometime during the day, hopefully, you're going to eat. You've got those needs. You got to go to work. You got to make money. You've got to pay bills. We're surrounded by this world. When you're driving an old car, when you know it. When you got a new Cadillac and you got the new car smell around you, then you know that too. That's over a year old now. I mean the joke. I was preaching one time about your new Cadillac, and she took offense to it, and I've been riding on it ever since. But we've got to be in this world. It's real easy to get focused on the world, and it's real easy to get focused on your physical needs. So here they had seen the miracle of the loaves that had taken place, but they were more interested in the bread that came out of it. They had seen people getting healed that were lame. They had seen people see that couldn't see before. They'd seen all these miracles take place, but they follow him over. It said in one part they wanted to make him a king. They were thinking of an earthly kingdom because that's where they were with the Jews. They were at a time when they were going to take back Jerusalem and all of that from Rome, and they wanted to gather around a king, and there he had a ready-made army, but Jesus didn't. He didn't stay there for that. He wasn't there for that. He had taught them about the kingdom of God, but that was spiritual teaching. So when they see him, he tells them, "You're looking for me not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves." And then this whole conversation starts out. He says, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." And he tells them, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." And then they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Work the works of God. So Jesus points them from the physical hunger to the spiritual hunger. In verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." When we look at this world around us, it's not going to be here. When we get upset about politics and whatnot, you know, I'm not going to get up and preach politics. Most of y'all got the wrong opinion about it. But when we get all wound up in what's going on, those things are temporary. We begin to think things are unjust. Things have been unjust all through the centuries. Those things perish. Those things go away. And he said in one part, "Fear not them which can kill the body, but fear him who can condemn your soul to hell for eternity." The spiritual is eternal. It's life everlasting. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." And then they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And mankind's been trying to work the works of God ever since. And before then. And working the works. And I go over this so many times. And y'all are probably worn out with it. But man works his way to God. It's God that's made a way for man to get to him. But man wants to work his way. Man wants to show up. Man wants to do his service. Man wants to be able to check the box. That'll never get old. Because man is still doing it, man always will be. "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." It's such a hard thing to just understand that in order to have a right relationship with God, you put your trust in Jesus Christ. No amount of going to church, no amount of doing good works, no amount of, what was it? Megan was watching some YouTube videos with little kids on there. And one kid said, we've lied. And the kid said, "Well, I don't know about that." He said, "I've mostly told the truth all day." And I can see people getting out of heaven. You know, "I was mostly good, Lord." But it's that one sin. It's that breaking God's law. That's what puts you out of God's graces. Or you told the white lie. You stole something. You did something at some point in your life. It doesn't have to be big. It's like, "Oh, well, I didn't murder anybody." Oh, okay. And then Jesus over in Matthew, he talks about whosoever is angry with his brother. "Well, I haven't committed adultery." Well, Jesus said, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her." It goes for women too. That little bit, you've broken God's law. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. You're not going to stand before God on your own works and your own righteousness. That whole thing about standing there facing St. Peter, St. Peter is already in the gate. God's the one who's going to pull you up the day of judgment. And if you're standing there, you're too late already. Everything will be shown. That screen. I've heard the preacher paint it out, you know, that screen playing across your life there. And you know how it is at your house when you think it's mostly clean and then somebody comes over and you can see everything through their eyes all of a sudden? Y'all don't have that problem, do you? It's like, oh, this ain't as clean as I thought. You kind of step out of the tunnel when someone else comes around. You're thinking that about your life. You're thinking it's mostly clean. God gets a hold of it. The light's going to come on. The roaches are scattered. The dirt will be left behind. And all of those things that you pushed aside. No, we don't have roaches. But all of those things that you pushed aside and you said, well, you know, that's mostly good. That's mostly good. But you stand before God on the day of judgment. Have you broken my law? Have you broken my commandments? Have you ever told a lie? And he knows. It's all written down. So you're not going to work your way to heaven. So what's the trick? Well, it's not a trick. He said, this is the work of God. Number one, it's not the work of man. It's God's work. God sent his son to live on this world as one of us. God manifest in the flesh, living among men. And then he was taken and he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was crucified on that cross. He was beaten. He was whipped. And that's what we're going to be remembering today when we do the Lord's Supper. When he died, all of our sins, he was taking the punishment for our sins. And when he went up on that cross and it went dark, and God couldn't look on the sin. God could see his son, but God turned his back on the sin there on that cross. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's Jesus Christ. It's putting your trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only through trusting in Jesus Christ that you can have a relationship with God, a right relationship. Verse number 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Now, a modern day reaction would be, what? Because on the other side, they had seen so many miracles taking place. They had seen the feeding of the 5,000. And God used signs to show his people. We're talking about the Jewish people that he's talking to right now. God had used signs all the way back from the time of Moses. And when Moses was being sent to the people of Israel and he was going to deliver them out of Egypt, God was going to deliver the people out of Egypt through Moses' hand. And remember, we talked about feeling inadequate. Moses was pretty inadequate when God was talking to him, and he said, I'm slow of speech. He said, they won't believe me. And God had an answer for everything. And when he said he was slow of speech, he said, I'll send your brother Aaron. He said, what if they don't believe me? He said, put your hand in your coat and pull it out. And it was white and it was leprous. Put it back, and then it was recovered. Now to us, that's a magic trick. But back then, God was working through signs to show his people that God was there for them. They hadn't heard from God in 400 years while being in Egypt. And if you think that can't happen, it's already happened. Israel, the Jews have been scattered around the world, and then they came back. 1948. We've talked about that before. But God used those signs, and God was using signs now to show the Jews that God has sent his son. So they said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Verse 31, they said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. kind of left unsaid here is, well, you fed us one day. I mean, Moses gave us manna from heaven for 40 days, 40 years. And he said, and then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Jesus has a way of switching it back. They see everything as physical, and that's the way we see it in this world. We see all the physical. I talked about that. We see all of the physical. But if you refuse to see the spiritual in your walk, if you refuse to understand, it's things that you can't see. It's prince of the powers of the air. It's understanding that there's a spiritual side of life. And a lot of people that deny it go seeking after it in other ways. New age religions, stuff like that. They look for other religions. They try to seek a spiritual side. God is the spiritual side. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Just like the woman at the well, when Jesus was sitting there and she came to get water at the well. And he said, give me to drink. She said, how is it that thou being a Jew askest of me a Samaritan? And he said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink. Because I could give you water where you'll never thirst again. That spiritual water. He turned that conversation to spiritual again. He said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then they said unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Seven I ams in the gospel. This is one of them. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Can you imagine being there with the Son of God and not seeing him? You know, we can get self-righteous in our day and age. We got the whole Bible to look at. But might we have been among them that saw the miracles and could only think of the material things, that could not see the Son of God right in front of us? He said, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Jesus, he won't turn you away. You say, oh, my sins are too big. He's not going to turn you away. You say, oh, I've done too much. You know who he turns away? He didn't turn away the little boy. You know who he'll turn away? He'll turn away somebody who is too righteous to get into heaven. He'll turn away the one that's never sinned. And you know who hadn't sinned? Nobody. But they think they hadn't. He said, all that come into me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Over and over again we hear that. Everlasting life, eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And then in verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? We know how. We're about to see as we get into Christmas and we begin to reflect on the birth of God's son. We know how Joseph wasn't really his father. We know how God was the father. He was the only begotten of the father. But they grew up. They saw Jesus playing. They saw Joseph and Mary. They saw these things, and that blocked them from seeing. They said, how is it? Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. I'm getting to the next part. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. When we do the Lord's Supper here coming up, and that bread represents Jesus' broken body. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That manna only fed them for that day. And then the manna that came fed them for the next day. And even though they ate that for 40 years, they still died. They still passed away. But Jesus is saying, he's the bread of life. You have life everlasting. He said, this is a bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice. If I can find my verse. Hebrews 10:19. Tells us about the tabernacle, tells us the types and the pictures, and that's what Brother Bob's teaching on Wednesday nights. And if you're missing out on that, you really ought to come and see it. Learn a little bit. You got the tabernacle, and inside the tabernacle, inside the temple, there was a veil, and there was a place that the priest could only go to one time every year, and he had to sacrifice. We talked about that last week. We talked about him having to shed the blood for his own sins and go in there. But Jesus, when he shed his blood, that was the ultimate sacrifice. That was the perfect sacrifice. And he said, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. In Hebrews 10:19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. When his body was broken, that was like the veil being broken. When he died on that cross, that veil was literally torn from top to bottom. And that veil which separated mankind from God was torn apart by Jesus Christ. We were able to pass through by Jesus Christ. Am I getting a little too deep for you this morning? I get excited about that stuff. And then when you get into Hebrews and it points it out and it says this, it's like, oh, this isn't made up. This God really did paint pictures in the Old Testament. When you learn these pictures, your Bible becomes a little more exciting. He has to be taken in order to be received. He said, and the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're still seeing things in the physical sense. And if you see things in the physical sense, that's just a nasty thought. But when you understand things spiritually, and you understand those pictures that God painted, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And he doubles down on it. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Jesus is talking about that life that he gave for us. Unless you receive Jesus Christ into yourself, when you get saved, when you accept Jesus Christ, you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. You receive Jesus Christ into you. It's like eating God's word. You take him in. And he says, I'm trying to maintain a thought here. Don't laugh. It might happen to you. He doubles down. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. But he's talking in spiritual sense. And when they hear this, when the Jews hear this, the eating of blood has been against the law, the Jewish law all through, ever since God laid down the law. They're not to drink blood. So when they hear this, they get offended because they don't understand the spiritual side of it. There's another practice today that says that when you take the bread and the wine, It turns into the literal blood and body of Jesus Christ. It's called transubstantiation, just to throw a big word at you. I don't know if this throws off topic or not, but this is where that doctrine comes from. And again, it's a failure to see the spiritual side and looking at things physically. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive Jesus Christ. I think I'm talking in circles right now, but you get it? Verse 57, as the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. He said, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. For he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? There's a lot of people today that they want to draw close to God, but then they begin to learn some things and they begin to pull away. They hear this saying, this is a hard saying, and they pull away from him. He had a whole crowd. He had 5,000 people that were fed. And from that day, many of them left his side. When Jesus, verse number 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I've been emphasizing this point, and I want to reemphasize it. This Bible is a spiritual book. And that doesn't mean that you spiritualize everything in it and say, oh, the story of Jonah, that's just a spiritual story. No. There's history, there's doctrine, and they're in their spiritual application in our lives. And these pictures that God painted, these types, you see Moses as a type of Jesus Christ, rejected by his brothers the first time around. And then he returns again to deliver them, to raise them up to out of Egypt. And you just see these types play out. You see it in Joseph, rejected by his brothers. And then he becomes their Savior, as he's on the right hand of Pharaoh. We see these types play out over and over again. 1 Corinthians 11:24 tells us, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, talking about the bread, said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. As we, Miss Weiss, as we take the time today to remember what Jesus did for us, to remember his broken body, to remember the blood that he shed for our sins. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to open it up. Paul said in verse 27, he said, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unto the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. There's a time of self-examination before we do the Lord's Supper. Do you know that you know that you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you've said, Lord, I know I can't get to heaven on my own. I understand that you sent your Son to die on the cross for my sins. Then without accepting you, I'll be condemned to death, eternity in hell. Has there been a time when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and received that eternal life? If you haven't done that, we ask that you abstain from taking the Lord's Supper today. Not because we don't like you. Not because we think you're not going to come out right. But we just, this is for those that have accepted Christ to remember Jesus. his body and his blood. As we take some time, as she plays, please stand.